I would like you guys to close your eyes for a minute. We close eyes because it's better and easier to imagine. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to imagine an invasion. When I say invasion, we have an invasion in our country, and the army that invades is seriously more powerful than we are. And your family runs from house to house, hiding in places, but in a matter of a few weeks, their serious numbers overtake our country. They start lining you up, and they start taking those who are ages 13 to 30. And you wonder in your heart, what are they doing? You're terrified they're going to kill you. Instead, they put you in vehicles and they haul you back to their country. They have no plans on killing you. They want to change you. They want to reculture you. They want you to learn a new language, start a new job, join a new family, get educated in their country, and even a new religion. And years go by that you begin almost forgetting what your home was like and your family was like and what your church was like. And you feel this continual pull, though there's change everywhere, you feel this pull to know that God is still there and that He's calling you to trust Him. You guys can open your eyes. I just painted the setting for the book we're going to look at. It's a true story. It's from the book of Daniel. You guys want to grab your Bibles? There's a foreign king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. He's from the country of Babylon, Iraq. He takes over Israel. Instead of killing everyone, he takes the elite, the good-looking, the super smart, and he exports them back to his country, and he wants to change the way they think. And there are four specific men that stand out in the book of Daniel. They're mentioned as very special, and it says they serve the king really well. And as the story goes, the king had another dream. And in his dream, he pulled all his magicians and his wise men in, and none of them could interpret his dream. And he was going to have them all murdered because it made him angry. What good are you if you can't interpret my dream? So the four men get back, and particularly one man named Daniel says, "Give us time." So we see that Daniel and the four men prayed, they asked God for understanding, and God gave Daniel the ability to interpret the dream. And the four men were praised by the king, they were put in charge, and the three of them, there's three guys that were put in charge, but Daniel was put in charge as one of the governors. He was like third in charge of the whole nation. So living by faith, you get what you want, right? Living by faith, you get what you want, right? That is not true. Living by faith, you do not get what you want. It's not exactly that at all. So these four, their Hebrew names are Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You guys know who they are? Yeah, so that were the names that they were recultured or given new names to fit into the new culture. But those were their Hebrew names. They had no earthly guarantee what they were going to get. Their faith was being challenged. They had to suffer, face scary things, be exiled from their family and out of their country. And God was in the middle of all of it, but they did not see Him until it was the worst possible time. So exiled, terrible life, some good things happen, but they still don't see God until the worst terrible time. Only then did they get promoted after they saw God show up. So what I want to do is, I got some special readers today. I want you guys to listen, because sometimes we have to trust God is with us, even if we don't see him. Other times, he shows himself to us, but not till we step out in faith. So faith is, as we look at the board over here, faith is believing that God is with me no matter how bad life gets. This first account is from Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Nolan's going to read it for us. And I want you to listen to Daniel chapter 3. If you get your Bibles, you can turn and listen as he reads. And I want you guys to hear what these guys had to face, and when did God show up, or when did God reveal himself to them. Go ahead, Nolan.
King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of all the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, the Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever shall not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace be heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning, fiery furnace. Because the king's order was so urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said, "The king, true, O king." He answered and said, But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors had gathered together and saw the fire had not any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Thank you, Nolan. Did you guys hear that? Isn't that a cool, cool, true story? Isn't that cool? Yes, no? Okay. So talk about peer pressure. Now, I know there's a lot of pressure that when you go back to school and you're around your friends to be somebody that you're not when you're around your parents or you're around your church friends. But you talk about pressure when the king says, "I'm going to throw you into a furnace if you do not bow down to this image that I have set up." Now, they purposed in their heart, verses 16 to 18, they purposed in the heart, "I will trust the Lord no matter what." And in fact, their response was, "We don't even need to talk about this, king, because our God can save us, but if he doesn't, so what? We're still not giving in to what you say. Our hope is in the Lord." Is that what you heard him read? All right. "Our hope is in the Lord." And what's interesting about that, as they got tied up, the furnace was overheated. The guys throwing them in were killed trying to get him in. The three men were bound up. And you ever take three people and bound them up together? It's hard to walk, isn't it? You ever seen that before where you wrap rope around three people? Anyway, so it says they had the horror of actually falling into the furnace. Now, did their faith rescue them from having to be dropped into the furnace? No. That's terrifying. They saw men just before them go into a horrible burning state falling into that furnace. Faith is scary, guys. Let's just admit it. So they had to be dropped into the furnace, and it was then and only then that they began to see or realize that God was with them. Now, we don't know the text. It says one is like the Son of God. We don't know if it's actually Jesus showing up with them or it's God sending an angel. We really don't know. But one thing we do know, who gets the glory of them not getting burned, and who gets the glory for there being four instead of three? Who gets the praise? God does. So we know it is God present with them and God at work with them for sure. We often ask God to remove the pain in our life. And I know you guys are going to face some stuff, whether it's illnesses in your families. Maybe perhaps you guys will face stuff. And what we find in Scripture and what I have found in life is that oftentimes God wants to meet us right in the middle of the hard stuff. "But God, please save me from it." And he says, "But I want to show you what I'm like right in the middle of all of it." He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, In the same way, you guys remember the phrase, what it said about Joseph when he was sold into slavery and God was with him. And then when he was falsely accused for trying to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and then he got thrown into jail, and it says, and God was. Oftentimes life gets hard, and then we give up before God can actually show himself to us. Did you hear me? We often give up too soon. We don't get to experience actually the closeness of God in the middle of hard things. Got another passage for you. We're going to talk about Daniel. Because when people live by faith, people look at God. Now, Daniel was favored by Nebuchadnezzar. He was also favored by Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. Everybody say, Belshazzar. Yeah, he was favored by his son. And in fact, Belshazzar had this writing on the wall, kind of weird thing. And he promoted Daniel too, because Daniel could interpret it. And Daniel said, your kingdom's going to end pretty soon. And that very night, a Mede, a guy from Persia or Iran, came in, took over, and his name was Darius. You guys want to get your Bibles and turn to chapter 6. So he liked Daniel, and amazing this, think of being exiled, being put in charge with a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He dies, his son Belshazzar takes over, he gets raised again as leadership, and now Darius, this new king, takes over. And what's he do with Daniel? He actually likes Daniel. Andy, pick it up. You guys just follow along. Another fantastic story. Listen up. When does God show up for Daniel? Go ahead.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account so that the king might not suffer any loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Wow. Yeah? Doesn't it make you want to clap about that? Don't you guys find that? I mean, maybe we shouldn't be excited about women and children being thrown into a lion's den. But I will tell you this. In verse 10, after the order had been given, he went back home. Everybody sit up for a minute. Look up here. He went back home and did the exact same thing. Prayer. Now, the three back in the fiery furnace, they felt the heat and the pressure publicly. But Daniel decided that, you know what? I'm going to still pray. I'm just going to go home just like I've always done. I'm going to go home and express my trust in the Lord, and it's not going to change. Now, praying to God, he'd been doing it all along. Did that keep him from the den? No. The guy had been praying all along, faithfully praying, yet he still ended up being tossed in the den. Now, one thing I noticed, does this king like Daniel? He does. So here's the thing, I want to warn you guys. Big fat warning. Do not put your faith in people, because people will fail you. Our hope is in the Lord. He had the king of the nation on his side, and he still ended up in the lion's den. So keep that in mind as we look down verses 21 to 23. And what's interesting about this, I love this, he says, the Daniel answered to the king, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I am found innocent in your sight, nor have I done anything wrong." Verse 23, the king was overjoyed, gave orders to lift him out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because why? Why? Because he trusted in his God. So let me just say this, and we'll close here shortly, because you guys are looking exhausted, right? Hey, four godly men who love God with their whole heart, both of them end up in a very serious situation. And by the way, Daniel spent the night, all night, in a dark cave with ferocious animals. That's faith. That's trusting the Lord. And the very first credit he gives is, "The Lord has rescued me. He sent his angel." As you guys ponder this, I want you guys to really, if I know some of you guys are not even here, but you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, you're 24 and 25, I want this to sink deep in your heart. And what I want is, I want this to go into your mind that when you're going through a crisis, when you're going through hard, if you put your hope in the Lord, you can have a confidence that He is there with you. You talk to people all over the globe. I got friends who are missionaries all over the world who are experiencing God in a new way because they're in a crisis. I'd like you guys to bow your heads. I want you guys just to process this. We like stuff instantaneous. We like stuff now. Faith is trusting God for what we cannot see down the road. And my concern is our desire for instantaneous, we give up trusting the Lord when things get kind of hard, and then we never get to experience His closeness. Again, they went into the furnace and they spent the night in the lion's den, and the Lord was with them in a very real way. Faith reveals that He is with me in the middle of hardship. And it believes that God is with me and will never leave me in my hardest time of need. You believe? The Bible describes Him as faithful, and it says He does not change. I want you to hear these words of Jesus out of John 16. He said, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you, my followers, will be scattered, everyone to their own home. You'll leave me alone, yet I'm not alone. My Father's with me. And then Jesus says to His followers, I've told you these things so that in me you can have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But He says, take heart with an exclamation point. Take heart. I've overcome the world. I share these passages with you that you will have hope one day, and you'll find that when life gets hard, God hasn't stepped away, but He's leaned in, and He's there with you, and He desires to show Himself strong. I want to worship together a few songs of thankful hearts and say, God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us through our hardship, through parents' divorce, through health issues. Thank you for being with me when I don't make sense in school, when I do stupid and I walk away. Father, I do pray that my young friends here would grasp how you are so faithful that you cannot be faithful to who you are. And I pray that they would realize how that impacts their human life. I pray that it would impact their moment-by-moment choice, that they wouldn't fall into peer pressure. They would purpose in their heart that you are their God and they trust in you.